this beautiful world, this fallen yet beautiful world that you have placed us in, that you have given us. So Lord, may you work today, may you speak through me, may you work through these people as they interact later. May you just really bless us and continue to send revival, Lord, in this country, in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as you can see, it's a little different today. I don't have a podium, so I'm just going to walk and talk. Okay, good, cool. All right, so today, if you have your Bibles, let's flip to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. A lot of you probably already have heard of this. This super famous section right here about love, right? Amen. And so at the end of this, though, there's this interesting line that I always think about. In verse 13, it says this: "So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love." And so I've always, whenever I read that, I was like, it'll be cool to do a little series, a little three-part series on those three big things, right? Faith, hope, and love. So today, we're going to talk about faith. And next time I speak, we're going to talk about hope, and then we're going to finish with the greatest, love. So faith, let's go to the next slide. Sorry. I forgot to pull up my PowerPoint. Can I put it over here?
Yeah.
If it's long enough. Is it long enough? Okay. Oh, we are good. We are good. Let me just double check some stuff. All right. What is faith? Let me adjust. So, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to, we'll read what the Bible has to say about faith. And it's in Hebrews. If you want to turn there, it's in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe, verse 1. Okay? And so, if you don't want to turn there, it's okay. I have it up here. I'll just read it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So let's break this down. What does this mean? Let's look at the first section. The assurance of things hoped for. So the first big word right there is assurance. Okay? So what is assurance? Assurance, as you can see, there's a little word in there that says looks like sure. Okay? Assurance basically means you are sure of something. Okay? It doesn't mean insurance. You guys know what insurance is, right? Insurance is when you're not sure of something, right? So if you're not sure that your car's gonna, you know, not crash, so you gotta buy insurance. So if it does, then you're protected. You can get a new car. They give you the money for it. Same with the house. Same with your health. Same with a lot of things in life. This is not it, okay? This is assurance, which means you're sure, you're confident, okay, of things hoped for. Now the second part, things hoped for, what does that mean? It just basically means what it says. You desire something, you have a hope for something. And if you combine it, it means that you are sure of what you desire or hope for. Second part, it says the conviction of things not seen. Conviction is also a big word, perhaps, for some people. Conviction means the same thing as assurance. Confident, you are sure that you're convicted, right? That something is going to happen, something that you see or believe, that's a conviction. And the second part, things not seen. Very self-explanatory again, right? Something that you don't see. So it means basically, in a nutshell, you see something that is not seen. Or you see the unseen, I guess you could say. And so some people, if you guys might have heard that faith is blind. Do you guys believe faith is blind? Raise your hand if you believe faith is blind. Nobody. Okay. I'm going to tell you that it is. Okay? I'll tell you why. Faith is blind because, okay, you see it, you believe it, but from another person's perspective. What does it do? Do they think you're blind? Obviously, because they don't see it. They don't see what you see. So from their perspective, faith is blind. But from your perspective, you see something that they don't see. So it's not blind, right? We are convicted of things that they do not see that we do. So that is a definition of faith. All right? And so the next question is, where does faith come from? Two areas, all right? First one. I call this the natural work of faith, all right? And so I believe everyone in this room, everyone out there, every human being has faith, has this type of faith, the natural work of faith, okay? Or we can call it a psychological faith, all right? And so what is this? This is something that you gain or create as you go through time, from childhood to now, through your experience, through your education, through the things that you go through, all right? And so, for example, let's talk about me, okay, since I'm up here. And I love talking about myself, right? And so, question for you guys. Do you believe that I have a brain? Yes. Yes. Some people say yes. Anybody say no? Okay, I saw some kind of half heads. I think they're just joking. How do you know, though? How do you know? Have you seen my brain? No. Right? Have you seen other people's brain? No. Have you seen pictures of brains? Yeah, so you've seen pictures of brains. What else have you? Have you seen scans, right? Like at the doctor, you see scans of brains. Maybe you've seen pictures of real brains. So why do you think I have a brain then? What evidence does that give you? Also, I'm talking, right? And I'm making sense. So I think I need a brain for that, right? Okay, so that's just one little idea of faith, right? Because you guys, through your experience, through your education, most of you through logic and science, have come to believe that I have a brain. Let's talk more about you guys now. Oops, sorry, gave it away. Let's talk about you guys. And so we have a lot of parents and a lot of kids, right? And recently, last week actually, we had a reverse panel. Some of you guys were in it, some of you guys weren't. And if you weren't, maybe you heard about it. And so what we did was we kind of, you know, did a little panel to help encourage mutual understanding, because there seemed to be a gap of communication and connection between the generations, right? The kids and the parents. And so why is that? It's due to this again. It's faith. And so parents here, right? You guys have a unique experience that us kids don't have. One is you guys grew up in China. Right? That's the two big things. One is your experience in China, your upbringing. Two is when you immigrated here. When you immigrated here, that's a huge transition because you took a risk. Because why? You wanted the American dream, right? So you took a risk, you came here, you worked hard, you studied hard, you got jobs, probably mostly engineering or that kind of area, because, you know, this is the Motor City. And then you provided this awesome life for us kids. So, but where do we don't experience that, so we don't know what that's like. We only see the fruit of your hard work. We don't see you going through it. We don't see you in China and what you did there, experiences of that culture and how that changed your mind and shaped what you believe and how you think. We don't see that. We don't even see really, maybe some of us, but not really, I think most of us. We don't see you coming here and all the hard work you put in and all the sweat and tears that you put in to give us our wonderful, privileged lives, growing up in Rochester, Troy, this area, right? Going to good schools, having the friends in this area, this safe place, and you got, what else? Activities, right? You provide us all these activities from music to sports to all these things. So we grew up taking all this for granted. This is what I did, actually, at least. Okay, maybe I can't speak for all you kids, but I'll speak for myself, right? And so I did that, and in college, my mind was kind of blown because I was like, I thought everybody was like this. So at Michigan State, I meet some people, right, who are from schools in Detroit, who are from schools in like other places in the United States. That's a little different, right? Culturally, it's different. The quality of teachers different. Their whole lifestyle, it's almost a whole new world, the suburbs versus the city. And so I was like, wow. I thought everyone had my kind of experience, you know? I mean, sure, I struggled with racism and stuff like that, but I thought, you know, everyone had a decent education, and most people were also, I thought, white, of course, because most people here are white. And so I was like, wow, there's all these diverse kinds of people, and like, because of their schools and stuff, like, they were struggling classes that I wasn't struggling because of the schools I went to. And so I was like, man, God has really blessed me with this kind of privilege, I guess you could say, this kind of blessing to experience what I experienced. And why is that? It's because the hard work of you first generation, my parents, which is like a lot of you guys, half the people in here, right? And so because of that, that shapes the way I think, that shapes the way what I believe and how I see the world, right? And it could be a little different. I think it's probably significantly different than the first generation, my parents. Because I just grew up in comfort. And I didn't realize some of this until in college. And so that's why I wanted to go back, right? And go to the inner city and teach and help out and give these kids the opportunity that I grew up and took for granted. So you see how that shapes my head and shapes my beliefs about life and the world and how it could be different if you're like my parents' generation? So that is the natural work of faith, or you can call it psychologically. I was also a psychology major in college, so you can kind of see some of my psychology, I guess, mindset as we go through this sermon. And so that is called the natural work of faith, all right? But there's something else. There's something else. And I gave you a little peek earlier, but I'll give you the whole peek now, all right? I call this the supernatural work of faith. All right, so now let's do another question. Raise your hand if you believe in the supernatural. All right, we got about half maybe. Okay, so half of you probably should just leave now. I'm just kidding. Maybe not, I don't know. Okay, so super. What is this? This is a different type of faith, okay? This is not like the first faith I talked about, everybody possesses, right? I broke it down for you guys, how that works. This is unique. Not everyone has this type of faith, okay? Because this isn't natural, okay? This isn't scientific. This isn't biological, I guess you could say. It's supernatural, all right? And what is this? What is this? Obviously, if you're a Christian, you would know. Our faith in God, right? Our faith of the work of the triune God, right? So God the Father sends his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, to resurrect, so that the Holy Spirit can come and save us and give us faith to believe. And so I want to explore two passages that shows us how this works in a small way, I guess. And how this is supernatural because this is not something we have ourselves. It has to be given to us by God, by the supernatural God that we believe in. So, if you have your Bibles, we read a little bit last time we were in Hebrews 11, right? That was the Hall of Faith. And after the Hall of Faith, after Paul, some people believe, he wrote the book, after he talks about all these people in the Old Testament, all these people and their faith, and what they did, and what God did through them because of their faith, and how God gave them faith, and all this stuff, it comes down to this little section at the beginning of verse 12, or actually chapter 12 of Hebrews. Let's go there, if you have your Bibles. It says this. Chapter 11, I just summarized real quick. Chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, amen, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes. Amen. So, who's the founder? Jesus, right? Makes sense. If there is no Jesus, who would we have faith in? And how are we supposed to be saved from our sin, right? And how are we supposed to open our eyes and see what we don't see? Let me show you another verse in Ephesians now. So, if you want, you can flip to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says this, "For by grace," man, God is gracious, "by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Again, we cannot, this is supernatural, right? We cannot take credit for the supernatural, because it's not us that chooses or wants God. We're actually dead in our sins. But because God is gracious, and because he loves his children and wants to give us gifts, he gives us this gift of faith so that we can glorify and praise him, and that we cannot boast about it, like it says. You know, no one can say, "Hey, I am better than you because I believe in Jesus. I chose you." Why can't you believe and see what I see? You can't say that, right? We can't boast about that because it's a supernatural gift that God gives us. Okay. Now that we've defined faith, right? We've looked at how it works or where it comes from in two ways. One, the natural or psychological way, our experiences, our education, how that shapes our mindset, what we believe, how we see the world. And now the supernatural of how God now through the Holy Spirit comes. I want to show you something of how that really works, the supernatural part, okay? And as you can see, there's something in front of me that some of you probably know what it is, but some of you don't, all right? So let me clear this up a little bit. What's in front of me right here? What is that? A box. I have a box in front of me. I'll just put this here for now. Is it a hard box? Yes, it is, right? This represents our hearts, okay? In the Bible, our hearts in numerous situations, it talks about how it's hard, right? Like a normal, natural heart is a hard heart. Hard to the ways of God. Hard because we don't see God. We don't want God, all right? Hard, and also dark, okay, as in sinful, okay? Our hearts are dark, it's hard. We just want to follow our own selfish, evil ways. But the supernatural comes. And what does God do? God can do anything, right? This is a hard box. Not many people can get into this box and see what's inside of our hearts, right? It takes God. So what does God do? God can open. God can do anything, right? Amen? God can do anything. So God comes to our dark and hard heart and opens it up. So God, ever so gently, but ever so, I guess, painfully too, if you've experienced the goodness and the severity of God, like it says in Romans, opens our dark hearts, right? Our hard hearts. Of course, most of you can't see what's in here, which is fine. But I'll just tell you. So God, we are sinful. Our hearts are hard. But there's this part of us, okay? We're still made in the image of God, right? If you read Genesis, we're still made in the image of God. And so we still have this image within us as well that's been darkened and hardened by sin, right? And by our experiences, by the world. But when God opens our hearts, he reveals that we do still have this image of God. So pretend this, I have an instrument, by the way. This is a musical instrument. Pretend that it's the image of God that we were. But here's the thing. We can't play it, okay? It doesn't produce sound unless something happens, okay? We need the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit. So pretend this laptop is the Holy Spirit. So this instrument, this is actually called a DJ controller or a turntable. This needs to be connected to a computer. In other words, our hearts, after it's been opened by God, needs to be connected with the Holy Spirit in order to produce music or sound. Okay? So let's do that. I'm going to find my USB. Do a USB connection. Okay. All right, so what God does, it's like God's the master conductor, okay? You guys know about symphonies, music, right? So God, what he does is he connects us to the Holy Spirit, he opens our hard hearts, and he plays a beautiful melody with our lives, right? He plays music, he plays this thing. So here's the thing. I will introduce you to some types of music that I listen to. It's not all electronic dance music. It's not all deep house. Don't worry. Okay? All right. So I'll just play some clips. Just small little sections. This won't take too long. Okay? Just some small sections. And see if maybe you know some of these tunes. All right. Let's see if this works. Something like this, maybe.
You are my fire, the one desire.
Maybe it's some instruments. Maybe you're not about the whole thing.
Let's do that.
God has made us all in His image, and it's beautiful, right? But when the Holy Spirit comes, and when God plays, it's all different and beautiful, right? And so sorry, I got too excited with the music. Let's get back. Let's get back to business. All right, where are we at? All right. So now the last section, okay, the last thing I want to help you unpack and see is how do we increase our faith? Now that we know what faith is, now that we have seen where it comes from, how God works in it, you know, supernaturally, right? Now the practical question, the one that we should all think about and want to ask me, ask each other as we go out from here, right, is how do we increase our faith? Because if you read the Bible, right, it's a problem. It's a big problem for a lot of people, even Jesus' disciples. Because Jesus is like, hey, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? And then, like, Jesus is always saying, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. What about us? Are we even at that level? Our faith must be super small. And so the question is, how do we increase our faith? First thing is this, words, all right? So in Romans, it says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the words of Christ. So one way we grow our faith is we read God's word, we listen to Jesus. You can listen to sermons, you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to whatever, right? You can listen, but also you can listen to each other's stories. In Revelation, right, at the end time, what does it say? We overcame the Satan and the evil forces by the blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, right? And by the power of the testimonies of the saints. So not only words as in word of the Bible, of God's word, right? Oh, here it is. But we also can share our stories of testimonies of what God has done in our lives. And that also will increase our faith. Also, music, right? Music, there's words in music that will increase your faith. Music not just has words that will increase our faith and help us, but also the melody, the music component of it is also very powerful. I think God has given us a huge gift in music to really move our hearts and change our minds and grow our faith. And so that's the first thing that will help us to grow our faith. But there's something else. There's something even more powerful than words. And even on Friday, we talked about the power of words. But this is something that I spent a lot of time thinking about. The second thing, experiences. It's awesome that I can come up here and talk to you about God's word and to teach you God's word and to tell you what you should do. But that's not that powerful compared to you going through an experience that will help you grow your faith, right? I can tell you about a lot of things. But until you experience it, this goes back to the earlier when we talked about like the parent experience, right, and the kids experience. Until you go through something, walk through it, it doesn't really click. So that's why experiences are even more powerful teachers in our lives. And so the thing about I'm going to call you guys out now. The thing about, I think, not just this church, but churches all around, and the way we do church today is this, that I have a huge issue with, is I think we're too spoiled, all right? I think we're too lazy. I think we just want to be spoon-fed. And we're like babies. You know, Paul talks about, right, babies like milk. And, like, we're still at this stage where we're like, okay, pastor, you're the professional. Teach us. Lead us. Hold our hands. Right? We don't want to do it ourselves. It's hard, right? It's hard to go and learn the Bible by yourself and read the Bible on your own. Even though there's tons of resources now on the internet that will help you understand it. It's really hard. We don't have that motivation and that desire. It's hard to evangelize and tell people about Jesus so that we just be like, hey, just come to church. Let the professional pastor or whatever leader tell you about Jesus. Just come to church. I don't want to tell you about Jesus. I just want you to come to church. And so I think we're a little complacent, we don't want to do work, you know? It's hard work. And so that experience is not there. The only experience we have is church experience that we experience God. So we think, okay, God is contained. We contain God in a building. So we say, okay, that's the only place I can experience God here in this building. We can worship. We can listen to God's word. We can fellowship and talk with one another, right? That this is the only place. But we out there in our workplaces, in our schools, in the shopping centers, in our vacations, no. That's not where God lives. That's not where he is. Only here. And so I think we need to be a little bit pushed. I think we need to grow our faith in that way. And so this is why I'm talking to the kids for a second now. This is the whole heart behind what we do in our new program, all right? And so we got, where are my kids at? We got some over there and some over here. Wow, there's barely any of you guys today. Oh, there's some over there. I see. Okay, good. Good. Okay. There's some of you. Okay. So, like, oh, if you guys are involved, right, you would know this year we changed up a lot of things. We changed up a lot of things, and it was a little bit uncomfortable, maybe for a lot of people. That's the point, actually. That's the point. You get it, right? That's the point. The more you complain, the more you grumble, I feel like Moses in the wilderness, right? The more you guys, the more I'm like, awesome. It's working. Because that's the point. How are you supposed to grow your faith when it's all comfortable all the time? It's come to church, and then you get spoon-fed this information. You go out, and you're like, oh, back to life as normal. Right? How are you supposed to grow that way? And so, I want to give you this thing I was thinking about. So, I listen to TED Talks, and like maybe last year, I heard this really good one, and there's this really good verse in there, or this quote that says this, we have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, okay? And I added the second part. I said, because that is the soil that faith grows in. So we need soil. We need the soil of discomfort, I guess you could say. And getting used to that and almost like putting our hands in that and getting dirty in that so that our faith can grow. Because when things are easy and comfortable, you guys know this, right? Like, this isn't new to you. Like, think about your life. Think about places, times in your life that you've really achieved something like amazing. Or think of things or situations, experiences that really helped you learn something or grow in a certain way. Was it easy? Was it comfortable? No, right? And so that's why we need that soil, just like in our spiritual lives, to be a little uncomfortable, to be a little bit different. And back to the whole like thing about the new program change with the youth. Another part of it is this. The question is this, especially when you're like grumbling, complaining, stuff like that, right? The question I will ask you is this: do you trust me? Do you trust me? You've known me for a good while now, right? The question is, even if you cannot see how it will benefit you, or even though you cannot see why we're doing this the way it is, or even though you like this or that, or question this, all this stuff, right? It comes down to this: do you trust me? Do you believe that I have your best interest in mind? Do you believe I care about you? Do you believe I love you? Because you know why? It's as you learn to grow your faith in me, it is a way that you grow your faith in God. You can't see God, but you can see me, right? You can, as you learn to trust me, it's a way that you can grow and learn to trust God. After all, you know what Paul says, right? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Same way. I'm not saying that I'm like Paul. You know, Paul and I, we're all imperfect. We all still sin. We all still have big egos, right? And whatever, like pride, all these issues, right? But still, God has in some way brought me here, brought your pastor, Jacob Chen, brought all these leaders from all different areas into the church, into Christianity. And the question for all of us all the time is, do you trust them? Because you can't see God, but you can see these leaders that God has placed all around us, right? Can you trust? Leaders are not perfect. There's tons of pastors and stuff that have failed and committed all kinds of bad stuff. But that shouldn't discourage you, because we know that even though our leaders might fail and that we're still learning to trust our leaders, we know that our God does not fail. That our God remains perfect. And God is always working in our leaders and even our lives to grow our faith in Him. And so that is the question. And like you've probably know, if you know me and if you've heard me talk before, you know, my last two series, actually, when I preached in this area right here to all of you, were on ones on about my dream, right? About my dream. That was the last, it's like a two-part series. And then before that, I would talk about Jonah. And so in all of that, and there's this flavor of multi-ethnicity, okay? So one way that you can grow your faith is through stepping in an place that you're uncomfortable in, right? So I did this yesterday, actually. I was invited by a friend to go to a party at this house that I didn't know most of the people there, and most of the people didn't look like me, were Asian Americans. And so it was a little bit scary. And there was another second component that some of you kids know about that also made it a little bit scary, but I won't go into that side of it. So I guess a tip. Here's a tip, okay? Here's a tip for you guys. If you guys ever get invited to a party that you don't know most of the people there, or most of the people are different than you, here's one little tip that will help you get comfortable as you go in. First thing you do, you find the person that invited you, which is usually the host, and you ask him or her how I can help you. Because usually at parties, yeah, you got what? People with their heads chopped off, right? Trying to organize everything. It's very chaotic. Like, you know, some of you guys know about that if you host parties and stuff. And so one thing you can do is you can help out, right? And as you help out, you're actually doing something together with some people that you might not know, and you can connect with them, right? And then maybe you can eventually connect in a way that will help you be able to be comfortable to talk about Jesus or talk about your faith to them. And so that's one way. And so today is a very special time. I've gone a little bit over. I'm sorry. Sorry, guys. But But anyway, I just want to bring up, so there's this thing going on in Detroit. I think God is up to big things. And in this place, in Southeast Michigan, which includes the main city of Detroit, right? And so there's this thing going on in Detroit called Love Detroit. Okay, it's a 24/7 outreach. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a video. Okay, I'm going to pull up this video. Do we have any sound connection to the laptop, do you think? Oh, that might be problematic. Oh, yeah, I could. I could just put my mic on there. That's true. But let me play you the video real quick, and then I'll have some of these. I have a just a normal jacket if you have a, I don't know how you want to. Otherwise, I'll just put my mic on here. But let me pull up a video for you that introduces what Love Detroit is. And then I'll have these people come up and share a little bit and then do some Q&A. And this is a wonderful opportunity, I believe, for us to cross cultures, for us to stretch our faith, to grow our faith. So that is why I invited them. And I always try to, you know, in my sermons, incorporate these components so that you guys can really get the most out of this. So this is the website if you're interested. There's some little cards going around too that you might have seen, and also perhaps back there. LoveDetroit247.com is the website. And let me just show you this video right here. I guess don't worry about the connection. I'll just put the mic up on here. Yeah. Oh, this won't work that way. Sorry. I wish. Yeah. Yeah, I just put my mic on there. That'll work. So let me show you this video. I don't think it's too long, is it? It's like a few minutes maybe? Yeah. So I just pull up this video. You guys, I just put my mic up here, and so you can hear some sound, hopefully. Okay, so you guys want to just come up and share a little bit, about maybe 5 minutes, about what it is, what's going on, how you can get involved, and then we can do some Q&A too if you guys have some questions.
How are you doing this afternoon? God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing us to come and to share, and we just want to honor the house and honor just what God's doing here. We're so thankful to be present with you, and and just to continue to partner as we are the body of Christ to serve and reach out to our communities. My name is Daniel Jackson, and I'm helping to lead this initiative called Love Detroit. We are doing 24/7 worship and prayer and 24/7 evangelism and outreach. We're going to be doing over 32 different outreaches to the city and to the city of Dearborn as well. will be in the Metro Detroit area, and we want to invite you out to come and be a part of this. I want to say this, that I am so full of hope for our cities and for our communities. I honestly believe that the destiny of our cities and the destiny of our communities are not in the hands of unsaved politicians who don't know God, who aren't filled with his heart or with his compassion. But the destiny of our communities are in the hands of the church, the people of God. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. And Jesus taught us to pray this, his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can look outside and you can see that it's not heaven on earth yet, right? But it is the will of God that it would be. And Jesus teaches us to pray this because it is the heart and it's the will of God. The idea of our cities and our communities being radically changed and transformed isn't just a nice idea. It's the heart and it's the will of God that they would be changed. Amen. So all of heaven is backing us as we step out in love. I promise you God will show up if you're willing to step out. And that's kind of our heart for Love Detroit. I just want to share some quick testimonies. We went out just a few days ago. Minister Mike right here, who's taking the video, was with a team. And they got a chance to pray for a lady at Five Guys, which is a little restaurant in Detroit. And she was completely blind in her left eye. And she had partial vision in her other eye. And God opened up her left eye so she could see. And God began to heal her other eye so she could see more clearly. That was just a few days ago. Hallelujah. God is still healing today. About a month ago, we also did another little outreach, a pre-outreach for Love Detroit. And we decided to go to the casinos around 2 o'clock in the morning and to share the gospel, to love people. And we went to the casino. They let us in. And we got a chance to pray for the guard, and he was very encouraged. And we prayed for a lady who had severe back pain. And the first time we prayed for her, nothing happened. We prayed again for her back pain. She said it was a pain 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. That's a lot of pain. We prayed a second time, nothing happened. We prayed a third time and the pain started to lift. We prayed a fourth time and all of the pain left her body. And she was blown away by what God had done right there in the middle of the casino. God moved and touched and healed her. Also that evening, there was a gentleman who wound up giving his life to the Lord that we got a chance to minister to. So these are a few of the testimonies that God is doing in the city of Detroit. There are countless testimonies that have already happened with healings and miracles and salvation. And God even overtaking parties. There was a party that happened around 2:30 at night for an outreach we were doing. Just in the middle of kind of more of a shady area, and they were drinking and doing drugs, and it wasn't a Christian party at all. And my friends came up there and they treated them as if they were their long lost friends, and they had a chance to minister to them and pray for them. And by the end of the night, everybody at the party had come around and they were praying, and one gentleman wind up for the first time crying out to the Lord and asking Jesus to come and change his heart. And God met him in that place. So we give God the glory for all that he's doing. And we want to invite you to come and participate and be involved. We have these right here. They have our website on there. If you haven't got one, we have, I believe, enough for everybody to receive one. So if you haven't got one, just let us know and we'll get you one. But you can register online. And if there is a $25 registration fee, which goes to help pay for this event and the care for the outreaches that we'll be doing. But if you don't have that $25, don't worry about it. Don't let money be an issue. We still want you to come out if you're able to come out. There'll be opportunity to pray, opportunity to go out there and minister God's love to people that desperately need that. And I promise you, you will be encouraged, you will be strengthened, you will be refreshed, and you will have a great opportunity to have an experience of faith as you partner with us. So God bless you, and thank you so much for allowing us to share. Yeah.
any questions? We have a few minutes if you want questions about this event, about what's going on. From anyone?
How long have you guys been doing this? Sounds like I heard about it last week.
Yes, so this is the first time we're doing it in Detroit. We've been planning this for over a year. And you can imagine getting a staff to do 24/7 worship and prayer. That's a lot of teams. and to do teams of evangelism and outreach, that's a lot of teams. So we've actually been planning this for over a year. But this originated in Kansas City, where they have really done 24/7 worship and prayer for over 10 years there. And they thought, all this prayer and worship is amazing. We desperately need this in our communities. But what they were provoked with was, where is the outreach? Where is the evangelism? Where is the proclamation of the gospel and reaching out into the community? It's nice that we meet in a building and we pray, but what about going out on the street and loving people? And so they had the idea of, what if we did 24/7 evangelism and outreach mixed with the prayer and the worship? And so they did that in Kansas City for 3 days. Then they did it in LA for a week. And then Minneapolis. And then New York. And then now here in Detroit. And we're actually doing this in a couple other cities as well. San Francisco, I believe Dallas, Texas. And there is some talk, it's still in the works, of being in Tokyo. Doing a Love Tokyo. So, and this is a number of different churches. Like I said, we have over 60 plus churches coming together. So this isn't about growing one particular church. It's about the body of Christ coming together to reach out to the community. Yeah. Does that help to answer your question?
Any other questions?
I had an encouraging word.
Sure.
Would that be okay to share?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It came to me when we were in worship and prayer.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Mm-hmm. As I was praying, I really felt just an encouraging word for you as a church. And sometimes God speaks to my heart, and I'm learning to take risk and step out and share as there's opportunity. But I had this picture in my heart of a lion. And there's a scripture that says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And I see God releasing a grace over this community of radical boldness, of courageous love. And I just feel like God is going to put such a love in your hearts that's going to make you fearless. And the Bible teaches us that perfect love casts out all fear. And I honestly believe that God is pouring out a grace even right now and imparting that, a greater love for the people that are around you, even for friends and for family, and even for our community. And I just felt to encourage you with that. I also had in my heart as we were praying, just a few things that maybe after the service, if it makes sense for you, we would like to pray with you personally. We just the other day, we had the opportunity to do a little training on prayer and on going out. And we just called out a few words of knowledge, which are just simple things that God was highlighting to our hearts to pray specifically for at that time. And we saw about close to 20 people either healed or partially healed just last night as we called out these words and we prayed for them. And I really felt like there was a couple things, so I'm going to just step out, and if it makes sense for you, just raise your hand, and maybe at the end we have an opportunity to pray for you one-on-one as we close. But I felt like there was somebody here that had something going on with their lungs, and if that makes sense for you, I feel like God wants to heal you this morning, if we can pray for you. The other thing was, if there's anybody here that has carpal tunnel or some type of problem with pain in their hands, we've been seeing God just do a lot of healing and miracles. So if that makes sense for you, if you've been struggling with any type of thing with your hands or with your, and even with your back, I saw back pain. And this last one was this. If you recently had a dream about Jesus, I felt like I had a specific word about you. So if that makes sense for you, if any of those things make sense for you, let us pray for you at the end, if that's okay with the pastor.
Yeah, sure.
Amen.
Let me pray for us right now. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are amazing, and you work in mysterious and amazing ways, both within us and through us, among us. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, as you come in this room, as you work in this room, may you continue to encourage us. And like we talked about, may you give us boldness, may you give us love, and may you help us to step out in faith and help us to grow our faith and choose these experiences. It's not just Love Detroit, but all kinds of experiences and all kind of risk and trust that we can walk into, even in our schools and our workplaces and wherever you have us, Lord. It was not an accident. So, Lord, may you help us to just really think and pray and seek after you for wisdom in knowing how to navigate these places that you have given us. And yeah, like we talked about, and may you heal us, Lord. May you heal us of so many different things and on so many different levels, Lord, from spiritual sin issues that we might have to physical issues that people in this room might have, Lord. We believe, we trust. Even though our faith is so small, we still have a little bit, and we believe that you are able to do anything and that you're powerful and you're capable and you're willing to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of sins and all kinds of issues. So, Lord, thank you for this time you've given us to get into your word, to talk with one another, and to just enjoy your presence together as your body, Lord. So, Lord, may you continue to work. May you continue to help us and enjoy you and see you and help us to meditate. Like this is the reason, Lord, that we're all here, is because of Jesus. So, Lord, may you not allow us to forget about Jesus. May you help us to realize and feel his love through the cross, through the resurrection. And may you help us to draw close to him through the power of your Spirit, so that we can always know that you are here, you are near, you are within. And now whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear now that we have you, the God of the universe? So Lord, thank you again for this time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so, yeah, okay.